I miss the crickets. About the only place in the country where you don't hear them is here, in the upper left-hand corner. Everyone I know in Seattle who grew up somewhere else will tell you the same thing. We all miss hearing those crickets on a warm summer night. Oh yeah, and thunderstorms. Miss those too. There's nothing like a good summer thunderstorm. All we get here is the occasional severe drizzle watch. So how does the Hoyt family deal with these missing comfort sounds of summer? Well, we hit the road. Just on the other side of the mountains from us here in Seattle, the crickets and the thunderstorms can be heard loud and clear. Not that I ever needed an excuse for a summer road trip. Hell, hitting the open road is part of my genetic makeup. First as a child at the beck and call of my parents, and now as a parent, helping create memories for my own children. The experience does change as the kids get older, though. Back when they were little, all we had to do was say, "Road trip!" And the kids would ask when and where. We've done summer road trips all over the West and have a van load of memories to show for it. In fact, one year, just to mix things up a bit, we left the house offering no clue that we'd be doing anything different from all of the summers that had come before. The back of the van was filled with the usual camping gear and the ever-familiar red ice chest. The usual stash of games for the road sat in the usual blue backpack between the kids' seats. They were blissfully ignorant of the adventure that lay before them, unaware that the Hoyt family would soon be living large. Seriously, large. We were on our way to rent a recreational vehicle, turning us for once into the annoyers rather than the annoyees for hundreds of vacationing Americans. I'm Jeff Hoyt. Welcome to Hoytus Interruptus.
Summertime, and the living is easy. Fish are jumping, and the cotton is sad. Oh, your daddy's rich, and your mama's good looking. So hush, little baby, don't you cry.
Now, it would have been so easy to just tell the kids our plans a couple of weeks in advance and let them anticipate the big event, but no, this time we wanted to go the Monty Hall route and see their faces when we showed them what was behind door number one. So as the exit for the RV rental place approached, I pretended that I needed a bathroom.
It's summertime.
Pulled off on the exit and found ourselves on RV Row. Dealerships on the left, more dealerships on the right. Nary a public bathroom to be found. I feigned desperation. Can you believe it? Every one of these RVs has its own bathroom and I can't use a single one of them? I don't have time for this. I pulled down a side street and into the back entrance of one of the lots. As I rolled slowly past one RV after another, my kids got worried. "Daddy, what are you doing?" "Kids, I just can't hold it much longer. That one there looks pretty tucked away." "You can't go to the bathroom in one of these RVs." "I know, but when you gotta go, you gotta go. Come on, someone has to stand guard. Quiet, everyone. Shh." The kids were a little freaked out, but they followed Cindy and me into a stylish 30-foot RV with all the trimmings. I told the kids to let me know if they spot anyone. While they looked out the window, my wife surreptitiously slipped a piece of paper onto the little dining room table. "Hurry up, Daddy! I'm going as fast as I can!" Actually, I wasn't going at all. I was waiting for the kids to find the paper. "Dad, you better come out here." I exited the bathroom and Eli handed me the note he'd found on the table. I read it out loud. "These are not public restrooms. Anyone who knowingly urinates inside one of our RVs must pay the equivalent of 1 week's worth of rental fees." "What are we going to do now, Dad?" "Well, a rule's a rule. We're going to have to rent this thing."
It's summer.
As we walked into the manager's office, The kids had these matching, can you believe this is happening, looks on their faces. I walked up to Larry, the lot manager, expressing great remorse. I'm very sorry, sir. I was completely unaware of your policy. He'd been waiting for us. Hey, I understand. Call of nature, you know. But we had to draw the line somewhere. Let's get started on your paperwork. And that's how our RV adventure began. Before long, the kids began to suspect that they'd been had, but for our sake, they pretended that they hadn't figured it out, at least for a little while. We were just happy to give the kids something for their arsenal later in life for when they get into one of those whose parents were weirder debates. As for the trip itself, well, what can I say? It was fun. RVs aren't so bad. All you have to do is steel yourself and learn to ignore being flipped off by other drivers on a semi-regular basis. Heck, one day we might even take out a loan and buy enough gas to try it again. For me, the summer family road trip is all about making memories. I'm probably not unlike any other boomer who grew up around cheap gas and a relatively young interstate system. Our parents were drawn to the open road because it was made easy for them to get out and explore.
In the summertime, when the weather is hot, you can stretch right up and touch the sky. When the weather's fine, we go fishing or go sailing in the sea. Philosophy.
For us, the big getaway always came in the middle of the night. Around 3 or 4 a.m., Dad would wake up all four of us kids and move us to our new beds, a collection of blankets and pillows arranged in the back of the station wagon, not a seatbelt in sight. The idea was that we would sleep while the folks put some serious miles behind us. For me, though, I was always way too excited to sleep. At first, anyway. I'd lay in the back and watch the streetlights zip by while imagining where we might be by the time the sun finally came up. Eventually, sleep would catch up to me and I'd be awakened by that very rising sun and sit mesmerized as cornfields would strobe by row after row before we'd finally pull into some exotic and distant breakfast eatery where the pancakes would be stacked up to my chin. Wow, are we actually in Wisconsin? Last thing I knew, we were still in Indiana. What an amazing world!
When the wind is here, yeah, it's party time. Bring a bottle, wagon, rackles, it'll soon be summertime. And we'll sing again, we go driving, or maybe we'll settle down. If she's rich, if she's nice, bring your friends and we'll all go into town.
Once our kids became teenagers, I was reminded why my own family stopped taking summer family road trips during my teenage years. It was because I had entered my teenage years. When our kids were 15 and 13 and showing signs that their enthusiasm for long stretches of open road was on the wane, I hatched a plan to drive the family to a spot in Utah that I had fallen in love with on a solo road trip a couple years before. It was a place called Camelot, bed and breakfast adventure lodge just across the Colorado River from Canyonlands National Park. I was quite certain that every member of my family would connect with the place just as much as I had.
The western lands, day turns to night, the immaterial play of light. It's very nice out here.
The road trip between Seattle and Utah was different this time from road trips past. Let's just say the kids were through counting license plates. Nope, technology was the order of the day. Handheld video games, iPods, laptop DVD players, roadside attractions, well, they just became roadside distractions that were only serving to take our kids away from yet another viewing of The Mummy Returns. For me, this changing paradigm of the summer family road trip was a little strange. We used to try to make the distance between point A and point B anything other than a straight line. But now it was all about just getting there. Want to stop here? Nah. How about there? No thanks. Hey, let's see this. Do we have to? Ooh, let's do that. No. Once we reached our final destination, all my daughter wanted to do was sit in her room and read. As for the spectacular desert landscape that lay before her, she couldn't be bothered with it. So, finally, I went old school on her, rolling out the dreaded parental edict. You will paddle down the Colorado River in a canoe with me, and that's final. After a scene that got louder than just about anything ever gets in the Utah desert, the use of force prevailed. Who knows what kinds of consequences I threatened, but I'm sure they were inappropriate and not befitting the crime. We launched our canoe on a perfectly beautiful day, on a perfectly placid stretch of the Colorado, and had ourselves a perfectly miserable time.
I poked my hand in a hornet's nest. They flew out all around my face. I guess it's just self-defense.
We paddled downriver with Natalie in the bow, quite content, I'm sure, to have her back turned toward me. She wore a t-shirt covered with illustrations of sharks. It somehow captured the mood, which was more than a little strange, especially when juxtaposed with the spectacular red cliffs and long, snaking canyons which surrounded us as we paddled down this amazing stretch of river. When we finally reached our takeout point to wait for our host to drive us back upriver, Natalie took refuge from the sun in the shade of a rocky overhang while I poked around in the caves nearby. Mentally kicking myself for being that unenlightened dad who had resorted to the mistakes of previous generations by using the iron fist to accomplish pretty much nothing.
The camera pans, the focus shifts. The world is a hornet's nest. I learned my lesson well. I surf the
Since learning that rather hard lesson, I've been able to apply my newfound wisdom. We've discovered just how much better traveling with teenagers can be when you just give them a little space. Sometimes our kids just need a little separation from all of that family togetherness. And they can actually get it by simply walking a few feet behind the rest of the family while sightseeing. It's a way to be with us without actually having to be with us. Hey, whatever it takes to get our daughter the alone time she craves. Plus, this way, she gets to see the same things we're seeing, and who cares that she's seen them a few seconds later than the rest of us. As for our son, well, he recently decided to stage a one-day sightseeing strike. It seems he needed to give his weary feet a break, so instead of taking a much-anticipated drive down the coast that afternoon, we took a day off in the middle of our trip, so that Eli could spend an entire day just reading in bed. It was the perfect mid-trip course correction, and when he hit the deck the next morning, he was refreshed and ready for pretty much whatever we had in mind. So I'm pleased to report that the dangerous waters of teenagerdom can still be navigated with a family sense of adventure intact. I harbor no illusions, though. Our classic summer family road trip days may be over. The kids are still up for adventure, but endless days in the car is no longer their idea of a good time. That's okay, though. We'll send the kids off to adulthood knowing that we've instilled in them a genuine sense of curiosity about the world. We're confident that the road will call to them one day, the way it's always called to us, and we're pretty sure they'll answer that call with their own kids. In the meantime, you'll find Cindy and me on America's byways and back roads whenever we can get out there. Because like my friend Bobby Z says, you can't really have an experience on an interstate. Just an endless series of relationship adjustments with your fellow corpuscles in the artery. That's it for this edition of Hoytus Interruptus. To hear any of the other shows, search Hoytus in the iTunes Music Store or go to greaterradio.com and take a look for the podcast link under the cowboy hat. I'm Jeff Hoyt. Thanks for taking the time.
Let fondness be our souvenir. To keep it warm, we'll keep it near. Otherwise, with no heart to recall, a memory's just a memory after all. Our photographs of these years. ends and we don't meet again. What are the odds? What are the odds that I will miss your smile? Take a while, take a while. Take care and fly away and see the world. Take a while, take a while. Take time and if you need rest, I'll keep your nest. Take care.